It's always good to come to the house of the Lord and feel the presence of God and the beauty of being a Christian is knowing that God loves you and that you are His child and that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are called according to His purpose. And knowing that your future is secure because you're eternally young, you're eternally strong, you're eternally rich, you're eternally predestined to have splendor and glory and magnificence beyond the wildest imagination. It's a preordination of God that you shine as the brightness of the noonday. Whereas the Bible said concerning Jesus, is as though the sun shined within His strength. And God illuminating you as the day started dawning from within, then truthfully, it is the sun shining within your strength. The Bible said in Revelation 12, the woman was clothed with the sun. The body of Christ Jesus, whether it be Jew or Gentile, is clothed with the Shekinah glory of God, with the same as that Adam and Eve was illuminated with in the garden before they lost their identity with God. Having emanated from Christ, they had the nature of Christ, and when it was lost, their image had become perverted, but now we're converted back to our originality, and now we're back in the garden with Christ. And the blossom of His love is within our heart, and the springtime of His love is within our soul. And we're like a watered garden. And God is always with us. Your future is secure. Your present is secure. Your past is taken care of. The offenses are blotted out, delivered for your offenses, and raised again for your justification. What a beautiful thing it is to be a Christian. Let's sing the little chorus without Him, Frank.
Without Him, I can do nothing. And without Him, I would but fail. And without Him, I would be drifting just like a ship without any sail. Lord Jesus, sweet Jesus, hear Him today. Don't turn Him away, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Without Him, how lost I. Can we sing one more time together? So without Him, you can do nothing. And without Him, you would but fail. And without Him, you would be drifting just like a shell without any sail. Lord Jesus, sweet Jesus, hear Him today. Don't turn Jesus, so Jesus, without Him, how lost you would be.
You can be seated. Without him, we can do nothing, and without him, we'd but fail. Without him, we'd be drifting like a ship without any sail. As I said, it's always a privilege to come to church. It's a treat to come into the house of God. And there's an old saying that you don't miss the water till the well runs dry. And that's true, because as long as you got plenty of water, you don't get thirsty. But I think about the man in hell that lifted up his eyes, asking for just a drop of water, just to cool the tongue that was burning. He said, "For I'm tormented in these flames." And I thought how horrible it is to think that just to be cut off from water when you're so thirsty, it would be a terrible, terrible nightmare outside of the torture of the flames and the exile, in the sense of the terror forever and ever and ever to never have another chance for freedom or to find relief from the pain and misery. But anyway, it's such a wonderful thing to come to the house of God and not be cut off, and to know that God loves you, and to know that He's nearby, and to know that you have the privilege of everlasting water, and that you can quench your thirst, and that you have the privilege of eternal life and eternal preservation, and never have to worry even about the flames of hell. You never have to worry about it. You never have to fear about the furnace of hell that's burning, as we would say, under your feet. Because the Bible said the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. And you know, it's really an intriguing thought when you think that Peter, looking at Jesus one day, the Lord asked him, said, "Who do men say that I am?" And he began to tell him, and he said, "Well, who do you think I am?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." That is, you got a revelation, Peter. And he said, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, but upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I thought so many times, Peter, thou art Peter. The name meaning little stone, but Jesus, this is my rock. Who is a rock but our God, and who is God but Jesus? And upon this Jesus, upon this rock, Peter, I'm going to build a church. I'm going to build a church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And sure enough, he took Jesus and he made the church, and that's his body. The Bible said the church, which is his body. And he made the body of the church, not by your works and my works, not by what I will do in my lifetime or you will do in your lifetime, but what the Son of God did in his lifetime. And the Lord said, "Thou art my church." And I will accredit to Brother Pike and all the others that follow me your righteousness and what you have done, that they might be members of your body, bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. But as for me, you are my finished product. Jesus hung at Calvary and he said, "It is finished." And so then he finished the work from the manger into glory, and from there down to the cross for atonement. And the church was perfected. And that church actually sweated blood. It spilled the blood or gave up its blood at Calvary through the torturous crucifixion. It waded through the flames of fire in the burnished furnaces of hell. And the gates of hell could not prevail against that body, against that church. And today you're being bone of its bone and flesh of its flesh. The gates of hell cannot prevail against you. You don't have to fear hell nor the flames of hell, because you walked through the flames of hell and you conquered hell, and you're the master of hell, and hell hath no power over you. You are eternally alive forever. All because upon that rock he founded his church. And he set it at his right hand to present it at the end of the church ages as your glorious body, or the head to that many members of that person that's to be the bride to that head. So then it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to know that we are bone of his bone and that we are flesh of his flesh. And it's so wonderful to know that we can come together and exhort one another the more as we see the day approaching, and I do see it approaching. And it is such an enthusing sort of a thing to me to be able to know that there's a revelation in the world today. There's a knowledge of God in the land today. There is a revelation that is making itself known to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that revelation is Christ within you, the hope of that glory. For he alone hath made heir to the glory of God. And he within you, he is revealing from glory to glory this great transformating power, that you might be partakers of that divine glory. For he is the hope of that glory, and the hope of you having that glorious change. So then Christ in you, the hope of glory, and this wonderful revelating power of the day start dawning within you through the transformating of your mind, the translating of your spirit, will eventually transfigure your body to immortality. So we know that it has translated our spirit into the kingdom of God to the extent that that has given us eternal life. The translation actually brings us into eternal life, or it gives us eternal life. But then there's the divine transformation of the mind that creates faith within our mind that brings us all of the wonderful things of life and eternal life, as to the riches, the splendor, the glory, the magnificence, as these wonderful promises that God has made to us are revealed to us. Well, that is to say, the Bible says that God has given us all things that pertain unto life through the great and mighty promises that he has given to us in the Word of God. And then through this wonderful transformating of mind, then we know that God, by the manifestation of this heavenly treasure that we already have in the earthen vessel that's emanating from this kingdom of God within, will transfigure our body to bring it to immortality. So then the power of transfiguring will cause us to become immortal in our own natural body, to the change from the terrestrial to the celestial body. So it's a wonderful, intriguing sort of a thing to find the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what is the revelation, as we say so many times? It is Christ within you revealing to you that ye are the God body, that ye are the Godship, and that ye are the one that God hath chosen for his own bone and flesh, his own body, his own wife, as we say, his own virtuous wife. We say his bride. It is his bride. It is the members of his body. And so then is Christ within you, the revelation revealing to you that ye are the bride of Christ Jesus. This is what the revelation is all about. And the word of God is rich. It is spirit and it is life. God sent his word and healed them. God, by his word, cast out the unclean spirits. God, in the beginning, said, let there be, by the word, and the world came to be. And God created a man by speaking him into existence. And God created the heavens and the earth. And God created the moon, the stars. And God created the seas and all of the things that are in the earth. God created them just by speaking the word and saying, let there be. And then he tells us that he is God the Word, the same to a thousand generations unchanged and unaltered, and that he is here today to do for you whatever you believe him to be. So then, according to your faith, so be it unto you. The word is coming to you in this generation, and the word is thus saying, according to your faith, whatever kind of confidence that you have into me, that's what you can have. Command thou me concerning the works of my hands, and it shall come to pass. Say what you will, and I will do it. Believe in your heart and don't doubt. Ask it and don't doubt. Decree it in your heart, and it will come to pass. For I am the word to a thousand generations, the same, unaltered and unchanged. I will not alter the word that's gone out of my mouth. I will hasten to perform my word. I will watch over my word to perform it. It will not return unto me void, but will accomplish that I please and prosper in that whereunto I have sent it. So then we know that God is the word, and we know that God is the same. And we know that this word is with us today. If he has sent his word to heal us, then it's a matter of us believing the word. You know, it's better to have faith in God so that you can stay with God in health, happiness, and prosperity, and the many blessings that God hath for you. That's the best thing to do, is stay in faith with God, stay in tune with God, keep your integrity with God, and don't stumble and stagger around. It makes it a lot easier. But if you do stumble and stagger, if you do slip, if your faith does fall on you, if you do error, or if anything happens that your faith begins to fall, or you begin to feel that your faith is being shipwrecked, or you run into problems, then that means that you're going to have to start believing for the miraculous. So then God is good to us. He blesses us. He gives us all kind of aids and helps in life. But he is the greatest source of all. He is the source itself. And everything else emanates from God. So then when we do find afflictions, or we do find problems or poverties or things that do come down upon us, then it requires a miraculous act of faith in our life to be able to correct the disorder, when if we could have just stayed in tune with God and kept everything on kind of an even keel, it would have been all right, and we wouldn't have had to have mustered up the kind of faith that we do, miraculously speaking, when we do have impairs of life. So then we find that the best thing to do is have a life that's in the uniformity with God. It is a true fact that you don't go to battle without getting wounded or something happening to you or going through a conflict. We have to accept the fact that we are in war and we are in a battle. And you know, it doesn't stand to reason that if five of us was on the battlefield, that one would take the outlook in a nonchalant-like way that, you know, you're just too serious, and I don't think we ought to be so careful. It doesn't matter. You know, we're just out on the battlefield. You know, they're throwing little bombs around, and guns are sounding off, and if you stick your head up, you might get your head shot off. And you could get careless and nonchalant and lose your life. It doesn't sound reasonable for people that are in battles or in foxholes out on the front line to do things like that. So the Bible said concerning this that we should watch and we should pray, and that we should always be instant, in season, out of season, ready to give an answer, resisting the enemy steadfast in the faith, never giving place to the devil, never allowing him to rule or reign within our mortal body at any time. So then this means that we're not going to get by without a conflict. We're not going to get by without a battle. The devil is out to kill you and destroy you. If you go along with the world, you'll be all right to the extent that he isn't going to bother you, but he'll buddy with you and he'll get out and frolic with you and he won't bother you. But when you start opposing him and his kingdom, he is out to destroy you. The Bible said he went about seeking a way to destroy Jesus and to destroy the apostles. And so then he's out to destroy you and out to destroy me. And so then that means that we've got to be even more careful and to try to be more exuberant toward the things of God, being more steadfast in the faith, building up our faith in God, always ready to resist the devil and always ready to fly back with strength and with faith and intestinal fortitude, as the world says, against the devil and put him to flight. The devil, as to you as an individual, you're no match for him. He is an angel, and man is made a little lower than the angels. He doesn't possess the power and the strength that angels do. The Bible said, speaking of man, David of old said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with thy glory, and set him over the work of thine hands." What is this man? What is man? He's just a little lower than the angels. But we have to remember that Christ in us makes us the stronger species. Christ in us makes us strong enough to resist the devil. And the devil is no match for us with Christ on the inside of us. We're no match for the devil without Christ, but Satan is no match for us with Christ on the inside of us. For behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And so then God has given us this great, wonderful power over the enemy, and this power is the Holy Ghost that's on the inside. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have power over the enemy. For the Bible said it shall come to pass when you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. And the power is the virtue that the Holy Ghost gives off. The Bible said in this virtue went out of the body of Jesus, healing all. And when the little woman touched the body of Jesus, virtue went out of the body of Jesus and healed the woman. And so then the virtue is the power of God. And the more virtuous we are with God, the more we withdraw from the world, the more of this great, wonderful virtue and power we have. This is why the Bible refers to it as the virgins. And it says the virtuous woman's price is far beyond that of rubies. Because if a woman is virtuous, as to saying a spiritual person, then they're filled with the power and the glory of God. And they come to the place that all through their lifetime, whatever they ask for, they receive. And all through their lifetime, they are bountifully blessed with all of the good things of life, and they lack nothing during their lifetime because God walks with them every day of their life and sees that they have the desire of their heart. If you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. If you will draw nigh to me, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You know, you cannot resist the devil just by resisting the devil and have him flee. You must draw nigh to Christ. When you draw nigh to Christ, then you strengthen yourself in Christ. And the Bible says, through Christ that strengthens me, I can do all things. A lot of times, Brother Taylor sings this little chorus with the children, through Christ that strengthens me, I can do all things. Again, we hear the little song, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. So then we see that the Word is the answer to our problem. The Word is what we're looking for. Why do we come to church? To hear the Word. Why do we want the Word? Because the Word is God. And if you have not His Spirit, you're not of His. And this Word is Spirit and life. And why do we want the Word? Because the Word is the power of healing. He sent His Word and healed us. Why do we want the Word? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing brings eternal life. So then the faith of Christ is in the Word, because the Word is Christ. And the Word says, I am the Prince of Life. And I've come that you might have life, for I am the Word of Spirit and life. I am the Word made flesh. Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, lest ye have no life within you. So I am the Word, and I am the Prince of Life. And I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it filled up and overflowing. So then that means that this wonderful Word of God is that from which God's Spirit and life emanates. And when we have the Word of God, then we have the blessings of God. The Word of God can be with you and not be of benefit to you. The Bible said in the Jews having the Word, though they had the Word, it did not profit them that heard it, for they did not mix faith with the Word. So having the Word just by itself is not sufficient. But to bring this Word to life by faith, this is why the Bible said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. We have the Word. The Bible said God gave the Word, and great was them of the multitude that published it. So then God is the Word. He's in our midst. Two or three gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. So we know that we have the Word. But in having the Word, that isn't what God said would bless us. He said, according to your faith. It is based on your faith, because your faith in the Word is what brings you the revenue of the Word and what brings you the blessing of the sauce. Though the Word is the sauce, yet faith is the entrance into the Word. And faith is what brings the water out of the well of salvation with joy. So then out of your innermost beings comes the water out of the wells of salvation. For ye flow forth as rivers of living water. And the Bible teaches that the deep is calling unto the deep at the water spout of God. So then we know that the Word is present with us. But unless we can mix faith with the Word, then it isn't going to do us any good. And this is why the Bible said faith without works is dead, and works without faith is dead. If faith cometh by hearing of the word, and my works come by my own bodily activity, then I must use my bodily works to mix with the faith of Christ Jesus, which is in my heart, and it brings it to life and gives it entrance into my very blood genetics. It allows it to go into my bloodstream and illuminate my very blood genetics and charge my body with the same virtues that was in Jesus' body when the woman received her healing just by touching the hem of his garment. So in this we know that the word is with us. But do we spend any time with the word? Do we spend any time in meditation of the word? Do we spend any time trying to conform to the word, trying to understand the word? Do we spend any study at all, as in college and in school? They studied that word all the time of intellectual reasoning. But do we do that to the word of God? Do we give ourselves to the word of God? We give ourselves to the knowledge of the world, to the things of the world, to the wealth of the world, to make money, to understand how to make money, to think in the terms of natural knowledge, to be able to be witty in the flesh. But do we do anything to try to understand the wonderful mind of Christ or the power of the living God? Do we do anything to understand the ways of God? Do we try to live a holy life, a godly life, an overcoming life to build an integrity of heart, doing the things that please God, that we might have a confidence that he hears us, that we might, by through this confidence, receive what we ask of God, knowing that we do the things that please God? This is where we're lacking. So then, having the word is one thing, but having faith in the word is another thing altogether. We come to the house of the Lord to hear the word. And so then we hear the word. How do we hear the word? The Bible said, he that God sendeth shall speak God's word. And when this word comes forth, it said it shall not be the man speaking, but God from within him speaking through his own temple, through his own body. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, how can it be God speaking? Because he said, you are bone of my bone, and you are flesh of my flesh. And when you speak as the oracles of God. So if it's God's body, if it's God's bones, if it's God's flesh, then it's God's voice. If it's God's voice, then it's God's spirit. If it's God's spirit, then it's God's word. And so then the Bible said, they shall all be taught of God. And so then God comes together in our midst with two or three of us. Come together in the name, and there through the name of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord comes. For when he comes, he shall come in my name. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And therefore the minister remits our sins or retains our sin by faith in the word of God. So the word of God comes forth, and when the word of God comes forth, if it's mixed with faith, then we're profited by it. The early church, they had faith in the word, and it profited them. When the Jews had the word, they laid aside the faith, and not having faith in the word, it did not profit them that heard it. And so it was that when they believed in the word in the days of Moses, it profited them. But the Bible said when they murmured and complained against Moses after God had given him the word, that God swear in his wrath. I swear, he said, that they shall not enter into my rest because of their unbelief. And 3 million people or more were cut off in the wilderness because of their unbelief. And they could not enter into Canaan. For the Lord had promised, he had given them a word, a sure word. And so then we know now that we have the word. And the word is here. And now it's up to us to adapt to the word and believe the word and conform to the word and practice the word in our life. It's up to us to live according to the word, to think according to the word, to speak according to the word, to do all things in the word. For the Bible said, he that abideth in my words and my words abide in him, he can ask what he will and it will be done. So we see the simplicity of God, and we see how easy it is to sidestep the real issues of God. We can sidestep the issues of God, and we can come right down the home front, as we say, and we can walk with God and have faith in God. Someone would say, but how can I have faith in God, Brother Pike? To have faith in the Word is to have faith in God. God is the Word. And to have faith in God is to have faith in the Word. The Word being made flesh, He sent His Word and healed them. The Word walked about in a human body, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. For God was with the Word. And so then the Word today is still within flesh. Ye are the Word of God. Ye are the body of the Word. Made flesh, bone of His bone, and flesh of His flesh, are your flesh of the Word and bone of the Word. And so then ye are the walking Word. For the Bible said you're an epistle that's known and read of all men. And people are looking at you, and they are reading your life every day, for the child is known by his doings. Whatever you do, that's what you are. As you think within your heart, so will you do. For whatever you think, so ye are. And if I can think the right kind of thoughts, I can be the right kind of person. If I do not think the right kind of thoughts, I am not the right kind of person. Now, this is something we need to consider. As long as you're thinking worldly terms and worldly desire, then you have the world in you and the love of God isn't there. No matter how religious you are, being in the rain is one thing. Having the waters of life within you as a well of salvation is another thing altogether. So then, if you have thoughts and desires as to the things of God, the kingdom of God, the way of God, world evangelism and helping the needy and the poor, then do you have God on the inside of you? And this is what the Bible speaks of as being in the Word. If ye are the Word, then are ye the trees of life in the earth. You're not the tree of knowledge. For the tree of knowledge is that stems from the things of the world as to the learning institutions. And it is the tree of death. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life. Ye are the trees of life, not the trees of death. And therefore, being a tree of life, your fruits are the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of holiness. As under the fruits of the Spirit, which is the Spirit of holiness, that you might give life to them that are around you. That those that's coming to and fro might partake of the fruits of life from the branches of your tree. Ye are God's trees, and the Bible says that God's trees are full of life. And so thee and thee are the trees of life in the earth, not the tree of death, but the tree of life. And this is why that we should bear much fruit. The Bible said it is God's will that we should bear much fruit. And He tells us that we are the light of the earth. And that we should let our light so shine, this light being a knowledge of the understanding of the revelational mysteries of Christ. Let our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So then, knowing that God is with us and knowing that we are the children of privilege, we come to church. We have this wonderful privilege to learn the Word, to hear the Word, God speaking the Word, that the Word is in our midst and the Word is with us forever. The same wonderful Word of Spirit and of life, the same Word that came unto the prophets in the days of old. Whereas in the time past, the Bible said that God has spoken to us by the prophets. He doth and hath in this last time spoken unto us by His own Word, by His own Son. And yet we're taught of God Himself. So then, we want to do what the Word tells us to do. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, come to the fullness of the Word, and follow the Word that we might be in the Word, and the Word might be in us, that we might live daily eating of His flesh and drinking of His blood, lest we have no life within us. Well, let's stand together. I don't feel a lot of hunger tonight, but I feel you listening all right. And we'll just say those few little words and let you go. Let's just stand together. That way it'll give you plenty of time to do what you want to do in the natural. And to you that love the Lord and are looking for the Word in the Spirit, let these words sink deep down into your heart and into your mind. Take these things with you. And like the songwriter said, take the name of Jesus with you. Take it, friend, wherever you go. Joy and peace and comfort it will give you. Take it. then wherever you go. Another day is come and gone, and here we are at the close of another day. That means you are one day deader than you was before. You are now one day deader than you was yesterday. Yesterday you was one day alive more than you are now. You are now one day deader than you was. From the time you was born into this world, you begin to die. And every day since your birth into this world, you have been dying. And each day has been one day of your death. And you are continuing on day by day unto your death. And every day you do with your life whatever you want to do with it as a sovereignty. But remember, whatever you did that day, it was unto life or unto death. And if it was for the natural things of the world and carnality, then that was one day unto your death. And so then another day has taken place, and you are deader one day than you was before. And 1 year from now, you'll be deader 1 year more. And 10 years from now, you'll be dead 10 years more than you was today. And one day, if the Lord tarries, they'll dig a hole and they'll throw you into the ground and they'll throw the dirt in on your face. And it'll all be over. Unless you have met the Savior and been born again and learned to love this word and to cherish this word and to follow this word and to eat his flesh and to drink his blood and to hunger and thirst after this word more than your gold and silver. Solomon said, seek wisdom, call it your kinsman. Don't go after the things of the world. Go after God, for the world is vanity. And all of the world and the things that are in the world are vanity. And the pride of life and the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the world and the lust thereof must pass away. But he that keepeth the word to do the will of God abideth forever. You make your choice this day. You choose whom you will serve, whether it be the word as to the mind of Christ or the word as to the word of the tree of knowledge of human understanding and ego. Let's sing a little chorus together. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble plea. And while on others thou art calling, O Lord, won't you call on me? Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou calling, oh, do not pass. Can you sing that with me? Save your save your won't you my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not me by one more time.
say your Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while lone doves thou art calling, no, do not pass me. One more time together. Oh, say, can you lift your hands with me? Close your eyes. Won't you hear